You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. It's been a day of dressing room games today, mostly. Anyway, they had a bit of play this morning, but I just remember those days here at Lords. Quite a big dressing room, and the two games that we used to play was, one was bouncing the ball off the coffins, because the old bags used to have big square suitcases. You bounce it off and sort of catch it on the other side, and that was quite fun, but I don't know, I always used to lose that game. Mike Gatting was very good at it. And then the other game was just corridor cricket. Actually, corridor cricket is always quite fun because there's lots of corridors at Lord's. So, actually, lots of space. People, when you have a test match, obviously members sort of walk through and get in the way, which is a bit annoying. But corridor cricket's quite fun. Have you played that much?
A little bit. I'm surprised, actually, that cricketers were playing ball games while the rain was on. I thought you played cards.
But you've got so much energy. I mean, sometimes, obviously, cards as well. But I think you've got so much pent-up energy, you want to expend it in some way, and you've got that sort of competitive instinct anyway. So, yeah. All right, cards, but there's so much luck in cards.
Or reading a book.
Reading a book? Are you kidding?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Most cricketers can't read.
Can't read, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, really, it just doesn't work. So, Joe Root was used the time wisely. I saw him in the indoor nets having throwdowns with Paul Collingwood. He is amazing, the appetite he has for practice. But most of the others, I'm sure, have been languishing around, signing lots of things. You've always got loads of things to sign, as well as England players churning out yet another World Cup winning shirt. I mean, there must be so many shirts as worn by the players in circulation.
Yeah, and Owen Morgan actually was offering a shirt, wasn't he, signed by all the players for the Ruth Strauss Foundation. He also gave an interview at lunchtime in which he was asked about his future as England's one day captain. He said, well, you know, we'll see. I've got a bit of a back problem, you know, which might prevent me from continuing as England's one day captain. It's TBC, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I've heard a whisper that he might be playing in the 100, definitely, as one of the captains. So he's definitely, I think, interested in that as a
Well, that makes sense,
plan.
Doesn't it? That definitely makes sense. But whether you...
I think he's excited by the idea of that. So, still plenty to look forward to as far as his career is concerned, because that could lead to still being England's T20 captain, actually, in the World T20, which is next year.
What about the play we've had then?
Well, before we talk about that, just how do you spend a day as the broadcaster, like a day like this where you've got to keep going? Yeah. How do you do that? Because it's quite hard, isn't it? And at times, when you've got this sort of expanse of never-ending time to fill. Mm. And in the olden days, TMS would go off and, you know, you play a rehash of some old game or go to a bit of music or an elongated shipping forecast?
Well, various ways. I mean, you catch up on your admin. So that's one thing you do. You've got lots of admin to do. You do that. You can read a book because I know cricketers can't read.
Broadcasters can.
Broadcasters can read. And then we talk about the game, and we were talking this afternoon about fast bowling, not something that you know would be able to contribute much about. Medium pace bowling,
trundling,
possibly trundling. Yeah, you've been all right on that. But no, we talked about fast bowling with Mitchell Johnson and Aggers as well, and Alex Stewart playing fast bowling. You know, how do you play fast bowling? That idea that, you know, as a batsman, it's funny how you talk to lots of batsmen and you all say to them, were you ever afraid when you were batting? And they all say no. It's funny. They all say no. But,
well, I think it's true, actually, because I didn't have great pretensions as a batsman, but I faced every single fast bowler going in the 1980s and early 90s, and there was a lot of them. And
did you feel afraid?
No, I didn't feel afraid of being hurt. I felt afraid of getting out and looking an idiot, actually. Looking a fool by having your stumps rearranged, or, you know, jumping like a sort of manic person, fending it off and legs and arms going everywhere. It's quite undignified. You can get an undignified sort of exit when you're facing fast bowling. That's what I was scared of, not actually getting injured. In fact, I was facing Imran Khan in a county match playing for Sussex, and he hit me on the head. Bang, you know, real crash on the head, a bouncer, and I went down, sank into the dust, and he came over and said, "Are you okay?" You know, and I got up and I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And he came up and bobbed me another bouncer, hit me the next ball again on the same place.
That's fast bowlers,
yeah,
play, isn't it?
Yeah. So I wasn't very good at playing it, but I never got hurt, so maybe there wasn't that fear of being badly injured. It was just getting out.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating here. I mean, Alex Stewart was talking about that over, or that match they played in Jamaica.
Well, yeah,
the game was abandoned. You know, he said I knew I was going to be hit. So he said I never felt afraid when I was batting, but I knew in that match, in that innings, I was going to be hit. And there was a question of, you know, where it was going to be. You know, was it going to be a rap on the knuckles? Was it going to be a broken arm? Was it going to be something worse? You know, on the head. And eventually they managed to get the game called off, didn't they? He said he had a conversation with Steve Buckner. And what do you think about it, Steve? He said, well, it's okay from where I am. And Alex saying, well, you know, it's all right for you because, you know, you're just standing behind the stumps, basically. I have to face it all.
Bloody batsmen. They want it all their own way. I mean, they should have carried on in that game. So what?
No,
a few people went to hospital.
No, they shouldn't. Of course they shouldn't. It was a ridiculous pitch.
Well,
it was uneven.
Keeps it interesting. Anyway, we should talk a little bit about today's play. I thought, you know, fast bowling as a subject was interesting watching Archer bowling today, because I feel that he's got to try and it's early days in his test career, clearly, but I think he's going to have to try and figure out, or England are going to have to figure out, what sort of role he's going to play. And maybe it'll depend on, firstly, the pitch, and secondly, the other bowlers in the attack. Because he's playing a role here, obviously he's fast, but he's sort of playing a role as a line bowler, as an accurate bowler as well. He bowled 13 overs or 18 runs or something and took his wicket, didn't he? So he was giving nothing away. I think he was only hit for 1-4, and that was a squirt off the thick edge down to the boundary. But I feel actually his bigger asset would be as an explosive bowler to bowl really fast bouncers and Yorkers, which I think is a hugely underutilised ball, something he's really excellent at. We didn't see one today. I would have thought that would have been a priceless opportunity, bowl a couple of really nasty short balls to Cameron Bancroft, and then, all right, it sounds a bit simplistic, but even opening batsmen can be susceptible to that three-card trick.
Yeah, he bowled two spells, effectively, last night and today. He bowled six overs last night. I mean, he did change ends. There was just a brief hiatus while he changed ends, but effectively bowled six overs in a row. And today he bowled seven overs on the spin, I think because that England knew it was going to be a short session. Everyone has seen the weather forecast. Last night, of course, they knew definitely it was going to be a short session because they just had an hour's play, so they unleashed him last night, trying to get as much out of him as possible. I think the same happened today. That as time goes on, I think he will be used in shorter spells, but basically I think they just wanted a burst, didn't they, as much as they can, give it everything for seven overs in good bowling conditions. Did he bowl a bit short? I don't know. Perhaps, you know, Mike Selby, who knows this ground very well, was saying he thought, and this is before the test match, he said give Wokes and Broad the new ball and then let Archer bowl, because Wokes will bowl really well with the new ball, and so will Broad as well. And he was sort of urging England, you know, get Wokes on, because he's got such a good record on this ground.
I kind of agree with that, actually, because, you know, you do get that swing early on which just zips off the pitch, and when the ball loses its hardness after 20 overs, you don't get that movement quite as late or quite as extravagant. It just goes a little bit, and so I think you're right, whereas Archer doesn't really rely on movement so much as the consistency, extra bounce, pace, obviously, and deception. And he's not so reliant on, certainly not swing, I mean, definitely seam, but he doesn't really swing the ball. So actually, he can be, like Pat Cummins, probably better with a slightly older ball.
Yeah, I know you were interested in Cameron Bancroft's role.
Well, yeah, I mean, he got 13 runs. He made a slow progress, but he blunted the new ball. And the key thing was, Steve Smith, coming in at number four, faced only two balls from Jofra Archer, and he bowled 13 overs. So it was a very effective, although not particularly productive, role for Cameron Bancroft. Just sort of blunted that early threat from England. It kind of tired out the opening bowlers, so Archer's already got through 13 overs. I mean, if the game had carried on, that could have had a cumulative effect on England, as it is. Of course, they went off, so they'll be fresh again in the morning. But Wokes also was tiring a little bit, I thought, towards the end of the day when they were playing, and it just made Smith's job that much easier. I mean, what an eccentric batsman. He's more eccentric every time I watch him, isn't he? Yeah. The way he leaves the ball.
And he sort of plays shots after the ball's gone past, and he plays sort of bizarre attacking shots after the ball has gone past, like low pulls and things like that. He must be absolutely exhausted at the end of the day's play. He puts more into not batting than he does actually into the process of batting itself and running between the wickets. Did England look any closer to getting him out? He's 13 not out.
I had a couple of arguments with Derek Pringle today because, well, you always have arguments. You can argue with Derek Pringle about whether the grass is green, actually. But this today was a couple of balls from, I think, one from Broad and one from Wokes, where he was right outside off stump, Smith, and worked it from bat middle down to fine leg. And Pringle said, "That's going down." I said, "That was hitting middle stump."
Yeah, there was one that was definitely... Well, there's one that he leg glanced before that was definitely hitting leg stump. Yeah. If he'd missed, he got a thick edge on it.
Yeah.
And the ball, you know, never see the bowler's arms up in the air, but he just doesn't seem to miss it,
does he?
Does he?
Well, they've got to go with Archer in the morning. They've got to go with a full Yorker, a leg stump Yorker, fast. And I think he might miss that. And if he doesn't, he hits it for four, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
We really haven't seen enough of that kind of bowling.
Now, everyone's going to say this game is destined for a draw. I've had a look at the odds. The draw is 2-1 on favourite on one betting exchange. Bizarrely, I think slightly bizarrely, Australia are longer odds than England. But I see Australia as more likely winners than England, simply because you look at the situation from here. England have to take 16 wickets. Australia still only have to take 10. So, going by that, Australia, to me, have a better winning chance. I still think it's likely to be a draw, but there's a lot of cricket to be played in this match yet. 2 days of 98 overs.
196 overs,
Two relatively fallible batting lineups, two good bowling lineups, and it's Lords. I suppose it just depends on the overhead conditions. I can still see, a victory chance, more for Australia than for England. I can see an England victory possibility, but clearly lots of things will have to fall into place. Australia's winning possibility, as we discussed last night, get up around England's score, perhaps just beyond another Steve Smith 100, perhaps get up to 300 from here, and then the pressure will be on England in their third innings. This good Australian bowling attack, they bowling like cheaply, then Australia could chase a few on the last day. So England's task clearly is to try and restrict Australia's first inning score to as little as possible, and then they can get in and perhaps get some runs on the board. They might be able to have two sessions at Australia on the final day. It's a lot of ifs and buts and mights, really. A draw still looks the most likely, but I wouldn't, it's one of those, lots of rain around, we lost lots of time, but I wouldn't, you wouldn't be wanting to say, oh yeah, definite draw, put my house on this. Probably a draw, and I think actually England, ultimately, they probably wouldn't admit it, they said we'd win the game, but ultimately they're reasonably happy to get out of this test match with a draw and then move on to Headingley and try and level it up there. But Australia haven't, the bizarre thing is, of course, Australia haven't avoided the follow on yet. But if that happened, something incredible happened tomorrow morning where there was a real crash of wickets. They need 109 to avoid being asked to follow. I think the match, you might not enforce it, but there's still that very, very tiny possibility. Anyway, that's what the future looks like.
Well, the fundamentals is England have to get Smith out.
Yeah.
Now, what about you yesterday? Did you go into the public in that shirt, in that red shirt that you wore? So did you actually show yourself in public?
Well, I went home in it, yeah.
Any comments?
Not really. Lots of people on the tube wearing red as well.
Yeah. It was nice, wasn't it, actually? It was great. I finished up at Mark Nicholas's house last night. Do you know, I've played and I broadcast and played with Mark Nicholas since 1978, and I've never been to his house. Not his current one, anyway.
But you went last night.
I went last night, and it was very nice indeed. And I talked a long time to Shane Warne, actually, who's still, you know, he's on some diet now where he doesn't eat after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He's lost about 5 kilos. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm not going on that diet. I'm going to go for a big notch up tonight. It feels like one of those days. It's been damp. It's been a bit cold. It feels like a nice night for a big lasagna.
Is it?
Yeah. Of course, you don't eat meat, do you?
No.
You could have a vegetable or something.
But I do like to eat after 2 o'clock. That is quite restrictive, isn't it? Not eating after 2 o'clock.
Actually,
yeah. Well, yeah. I suppose if you get used to it, if you can discipline yourself. But yeah, not for me that one. But I mean, I can see the logic in it, burning up the calories and not loading them up after dark or whatever, or in the evening.
Especially when we're just sedentary, sitting around. Well, we're going to be sitting around tonight, hoping for better weather tomorrow.
I think there will be.
Yeah, I think the last 2 days should be fine. So, still, the potential for a result.
Do you think there's a potential result
or not? Yeah, I do. I think, as you say, with two fallible batting orders and some good bowlers, yeah, definitely. It's just, can someone hang around long enough to stop the bowlers running riot?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss the fourth day's play. That actually seems weird, doesn't it, talking about the fourth day's play. There's hardly been any play. Very little play we've had so far. What have we had? A day and a bit, really, after 3 days.
Thank goodness it wasn't the Ruth Foundation charity day today. Yeah. That would have been a real damp squib. Yeah. But it was a wonderful day yesterday. It got lots of good coverage in the papers today. Front page of the Times, actually. Had the boys and Andrew ringing the bell in that lovely spot in the pavilion. And Strauss, who was here today, still talking about matters of cricket and obviously his life as well. So I think he needs a rest. I think he deserves a rest, actually. So do we, and so do you. So we'll speak to you this time tomorrow. Thanks very much for listening.
Yeah, well, we hope we have more cricket tomorrow and a lot more to talk about. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.